This is the Black Christian News Network One podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to Daily Mail, a Washington, D.C. pastor has been charged with wire fraud after he allegedly lied to get a $1.5 million loan under the COVID-19 Payment Protection Plan and ended up buying a Tesla and a fleet of other used luxury cars. Rudolph Brooks, Jr., 45, was arrested earlier this month after allegedly faking tax returns and payroll forms for a business that he owns to apply for the loan under the federal government's CARES Act. Brooks, who is a pastor at Kingdom Tabernacle of Restoration, also allegedly tried to fraudulently apply for two other PPP loans that were for $1.8 million and $200,000. The fraud wasn't tied to his position at the church. Following his arrest, the FBI seized $2.2 million in funds from 11 different bank accounts and the Tesla he allegedly purchased using the PPP loan. According to a criminal complaint, Brooks applied for the PPP loan under a Maryland-based car dealership that he owns called Cars Direct. Brooks allegedly applied for the $1.5 million PPP loan on May 9th and submitted fake tax and payroll forms related to the dealership. The forms reported $724,000 in payments and $7,471,631 in total unemployment payments to employees from Cars Direct. The FBI, however, said the IRS has not ever received any tax filings for Cars Direct. The Maryland Department of Labor also has no record of Cars Direct ever paying wages or Brooks receiving wages. The Cars Direct isn't related to the national dealership of the same name. The $1.5 million PPP loan was approved, and the funds were transferred into a bank account solely owned by Brooks, the complaint says. Brooks is accused of then opening up a bank account under the name Payroll by BJM, which he transferred $500,000 of the loan funds. According to the AP, 8 people were shot and killed in a late-night shooting at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis, and the shooter killed himself, police said. Several other people were injured Thursday night when gunfire erupted at the facility near the Indianapolis International Airport, police spokesperson Janae Cook said. At least 4 were hospitalized, including 1 person with critical injuries. Another 2 people were treated and released at the scene, she said. A witness told WTHR-TV that he was working inside the building when he heard gunshots. "I see a man come out with a rifle in his hand. And he starts firing, and he starts yelling stuff that I could not understand," Levi Miller said. "What I ended up doing was ducking down to make sure he did not see me, because I thought he would see me and he would shoot me." The shooter was later identified as 19-year-old Brandon Scott Hole of Indiana, a former employee of the facility. It was the latest in a recent string of mass shootings across the U.S. Last month, 8 people were fatally shot at massage businesses across the Atlanta area, and 10 died in gunfire at a supermarket in Boulder, Colorado. It was at least the 3rd mass shooting this year in Indianapolis alone. 5 people, including a pregnant woman, were shot and killed in January, and a man was accused of killing 3 adults and a child before abducting his daughter during an argument at a home in March. "I'm heartbroken by the mass shooting at the FedEx facility here in Indianapolis and praying for all affected by this tragedy," Representative Andrea Carson, a Democrat whose district includes much of the city, tweeted. According to the Daily Beast, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices decided Wednesday not to make a recommendation on whether to continue the pause on Johnson & Johnson vaccine administrations. The move comes a day after Acting Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Janet Woodcock told reporters that she expected the pause to last a matter of days. While the committee's recommendations are not a mandate, health officials have said they would look to the CDC panel to shape their decision. The panel expects to reconvene in 7 to 10 days. CDC experts also noted the clear parallels between the blood clotting incidents associated with the J&J vaccine and those suffered by some recipients of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Dr. Grace Lee, chair of the committee's Vaccine Safety Technical Subgroup, noted that there are significant demographic similarities between the groups affected. For both vaccines, the majority of those suffering blood clotting incidents are female and under the age of 60, with patients showing symptoms within the first 2 weeks. Experts expressed concern that the standard treatment for clotting, the blood thinner Hairapin, may make some cases worse. While the committee ultimately decided to hold off on a vote, some experts floated the possibility of restricting J&J vaccine administration by age or sex, as all cases in the U.S. have occurred in women aged 18 to 48. That would mirror the approach taken by some European countries with the AstraZeneca vaccine, with many nations limiting administration by age. The CDC panel emphasized the importance of gathering more information before coming to a decision, with some panel members saying they expected more cases of the rare blood clotting condition to surface during the pause, in part because of the 1 to 2 week onset time seen in past cases. According to NBC Chicago, community members and family members expressed grief and frustration Sunday after a 7-year-old girl was fatally shot while sitting inside a vehicle at a McDonald's drive-thru in Chicago's Holman Square neighborhood. At approximately 4:18 p.m., Jaslyn Adams and her 29-year-old father, John Tay Adams, were inside a car at the drive-thru of the McDonald's located at 3200 West Roosevelt Road when shots were fired, authorities said. Jaslyn sustained multiple gunshot wounds and was rushed to Stroger Hospital by Chicago police officers. She was later pronounced dead at the hospital, authorities said. Her father was shot in the torso and hospitalized in serious condition. No offenders were in custody Sunday evening, police said. Jaslyn's aunt, Tawny McMullen, described the 7-year-old as a sweet, talkative girl who was real loving. McMullen told NBC 5 she has a daughter nearly the same age. My baby's taking it so hard right now. Just a real sweet loving baby, she said. Following the shooting, community activist Andrew Holmes joined several other area leaders outside Stroger's Hospital where they called for an end to recent violence. Now this family has to grieve because a coward decided to shoot her and take her life and shoot her father at the same time, Holmes said. Meanwhile, Jaslyn's aunt offered her own message to the public. Please put the guns down. Kids are afraid to go out the door because of this violence, she said. According to the AP, a wildfire that originated in South Africa's Table Mountain National Park has caused significant damage to the nearby University of Cape Town on Sunday, destroying the historical Jagger Library and causing hundreds of students to be evacuated. Local reports say that the Jagger Library housed an invaluable African Studies collection. According to the Associated Press, more than 100 firefighters and other emergency workers have been deployed to the university campus and Table Mountain National Park, with 4 helicopters being used to drop water on the fires, officials say. According to local reports, 1 firefighter is currently being treated for burn wounds. Officials say that the origin of the blaze is likely to be an unattended vagrant fire in the national park. According to the AP, Ex-University of Evansville basketball coach Walter McCarty has been accused of rape by a former student in a recently filed Title IX lawsuit, which also alleges that the school did not do enough to protect other students. According to the lawsuit, the former student, identified only as Jane Doe, was working as an athletic trainer at the school. She alleges that McCarty sent her inappropriate text and social media messages and eventually sexually assaulted her at his home in 2019. The lawsuit claims that McCarty continued to text her after the assault and quotes her as texting back, "Why did you do what you did to me? I told you I wanted to stop and you kept going." Both the University of Evansville and McCarty have denied the allegations. McCarty, a former NBA player who played for the New York Knicks and Boston Celtics, among others, was fired from his position as Evansville basketball coach in 2020 following an internal university investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct. According to ESPN, with final arguments expected on Monday in the trial of Derek Chauvin, the former police officer accused of murdering George Floyd, and a verdict possible this week, the NBA is bracing for impact. ESPN is reporting that, per anonymous sources, the NBA has alerted teams to the possibility of multiple nights of game cancellations, among other potential reactions to a verdict. This wouldn't be without precedent. Just last week, the Brooklyn Nets and Minnesota Timberwolves postponed a game in response to the police shooting of unarmed black man Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. In August 2020, the NBA and WNBA postponed a full slate of playoff games in response to the shooting of another black man, Jacob Blake, by a Kenosha, Wisconsin police officer. You can read these stories and more at blackchristiannews.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today's a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.